Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
As my Jewish friends would say, Erev Tov, good evening. My privilege to be here tonight. For so many years of my life, I've been inspired by a scripture in John chapter 16. Jesus called his disciples together shortly before he left for heaven, and he said, I have many things yet to say to you, but the Holy Spirit is coming, and he will be the one that will speak of me. He will take of my things and show them to you. And in that particular text, he said, he will show you things to come. I always had a great interest since I became a Spirit-filled believer in the subject of Bible prophecy. And it just seems like it keeps growing. It doesn't get any less. I just met somebody the other day, and we were talking on Bible prophecy, and first thing we know, we looked at our watch, and how many hours do you think passed? 3 hours had passed. When you're talking about something you really believe in, it's something that just grows and grows. I hope I have the word that will bless you tonight. I want to bring up the thought that most of us here, you have heard something about a recent nuclear accord that was negotiated with Iran. And there was a six-nation coalition that accomplished that, and two of the countries were Russia and the United States. There's been a lot of positive talk. Some world leaders feel that agreement has pushed aside the threat of war. Not everybody agrees with that. I have great respect for the Prime Minister in Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. I was a great friend of his father. Here's what he said. He clearly voiced his opposition to this accord, and here's the thoughts that he shared. He said, Iran will, despite treaty and guidelines, be given time and means necessary to complete their dream of a nuclear weapon. I believe that. Secondly, he said, Iran will receive billions of dollars, which will permit them not only to thrive in their economy, but increase their support of worldwide terrorism. In summary, the Prime Minister declared this: the chance of war is increased, not lessened. I understand how he's feeling, what he's coming from. And many dear friends in Israel, the Prime Minister reminded world political leaders that Iran's often stated goal is the total destruction and demise of the Jewish state. And he made the position clear, and I've heard his defense minister make it very clear. Israel will not stand by and let that happen. At this present hour, I think we're all pretty well aware that Israel is facing some formidable, aggressive adversaries, and I would cite Iran, Syria. In Lebanon, we have the Hezbollah, with untold thousands of missiles pointed toward Israel. We have the Gaza Strip with Hamas. I think of some of the staggering statistics when I read about the numbers of missiles that are pointed at the Jewish state. I certainly don't like hearing about a Middle East war, especially with all the modern weapons available. There will be a tragic loss of life if fighting breaks out. After over 50 years in the ministry and many years of study of things to come in the Bible, it's clear to me, and my love is studying the minor prophets and the major prophets, but I think much is overlooked today of what those minor prophets not only spoke to them in their time, but spoke a message to us in these latter days. And when you speak of something so tense as Israel's relationship with Syria, Iran, Lebanon, I just need to stick to the scripture. I'll share what I believe is clearly being spoken of, and we'll try to share exact texts. Somebody's going to tell me right away Iran is not found mentioned in the Bible. As far as the country name of Iran, I can't find it in my King James Bible. But I must add, in my years of study and hunger for the study of things to come, but God has revealed, not only to me, but to others, a very precious key that unlocks formerly hidden things. Things that are hidden from the wise and prudent, hidden from things of the world, that God wants his people to know. Let me illustrate. Most of you know that on Israel's eastern border, there's the country of Jordan. In Old Testament times, from north to south, that geographic area was called Ammon, Moab, and Edom. Today we find some Old Testament prophecies about those three areas that have not been fulfilled. And it's my profound witness that the Holy Spirit is saying they will be fulfilled. And they will be fulfilled in the nation that's in that geographic area today. And that's Iran. Jordan, excuse me. I want to move on to Iran. Iran lies today within the geographic area of Old Testament Elam. There's an unfulfilled text which speaks to Elam, and here we find Jordan in that geographic area. I mean, we find, as with Jordan, Iran in that geographic area. And I'm going to ask you to turn there. I don't know if you can see from your King James Bible or whatever Bible you have, but I wish you would turn with me to a very important text in Jeremiah chapter 49. pull that up a little bit.
I can't.
Okay. Jeremiah chapter 49, if you would turn to verse 34. I have to tell you that after over 50 years of studying in Bible prophecy, as you read and pick up the message that these prophets are saying at that time, something that the Holy Spirit just rises up and shows you that they're even speaking way beyond their day into these latter days. And that's what's happening in this scripture in Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 34 and 35. Hallelujah. If I can overcome this light situation here. Hallelujah. It's the word of the Lord that came to the prophet. And then look in verse 35, you that have your Bibles. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. There's two references here concerning ancient Elam that certainly couldn't be fulfilled. That geographic area has never had the weaponry that Iran has today. And they're right on the verge of having an atomic weapon, the chief of their might. What does the Lord say? It must be pretty important because we'll get set up here. When God says he'll break the bow of Elam, there's all kinds of missiles in Elam, or in Iran. But the chief of their might, I think it's boiled down now to Israel's made it clear that they won't permit that to happen. I think they're the only ones that are going to do anything about it. And there's no question in my mind that we're being taught here that they will hit the chief of Iran's might. They can't sit back. God's not going to sit back and let the nation that he's talked about with over 2,000 references in the Bible to Israel, they have great purpose for this earth. They're not going to be destroyed. Their nuclear will be hit, according to this scripture. And look at the missile potential that they have. What are they going to do? I sure would not expect Israel to go beyond destroying that missile system, that chief weapon, atomic. But I don't think Iran's going to sit still. I don't think all those thousands of missiles in Lebanon and Syria are going to be quiet. They're going to strike it. And Israel will have no choice to get out their big weapons. I'm talking about the Word of God. Let me read what's going to happen. And upon Elam, I will bring the four quarters of the four winds of heaven. This is talking about powerful angelic forces be involved in not only protecting Israel, but dealing with their adversaries. If I can pick up the rest of this verse here, Iran's going to get punished badly. says here there will be no nation where the descendants of Elam shall not come. There's no question that we're talking about the nation of Iran. I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before them that seek their life. The Almighty has no choice but to protect his people. I will bring evil upon them and my fierce anger, saith the Lord, and I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. Then later, we're told in those last two verses that after Christ comes to this earth, establishes millennial kingdom, there will be a restoration in that area, which will include Iran. God help me. I wish I hadn't taken that other thing that was here. Hallelujah. 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 I want to read another text that I don't know if you can turn to the book of, my friend Alicia calls it Zephaniah, but I call it Zephaniah, chapter 2. The minor prophet Zephaniah. Here's a tremendous, crystal clear portion of scripture speaking about the Jewish nation today. In verse 1, it says, gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Oh, who's that? That's Israel. And God says, time-wise, I have something to say. It's before the decree bring forth, before the time of Jacob's trouble, before the great tribulation. We're living in an hour when we can think about what's coming. He says it's a time that you need to listen before the Lord's anger come upon you. God's not only speaking to the Jewish people, he's speaking to the whole world. He's speaking to Christians. This is an hour there's a great shaking. He says to all you believers, the meek of the earth, it's time to wake up. It's time to know that God expects something from you. It's time to seek righteousness and meekness, that you might be hid in this time of shaking that's coming. Now, in that Middle East situation that's going to break out in fighting, here's a scripture that it's never historically happened. Listen to it. Verse 4. Gaza, the Gaza Strip, shall be forsaken. There'd be so much fighting there that there's another scripture that says it will be bald. Can you imagine that? Depopulated of life. Ashkelon. I have friends in Ashkelon. It's a large metropolitan city. I'm reading the Word of God now. It says it will become a desolation. That's frightening. Ashdod. People will be trying to get out of the city of Ashdod at noontime. I sat with our friend Alicia Noy, and we were looking at these scriptures, and he said, Pastor Bob, people are going to be trying to get out of the city at noontime. It's just exactly what it said. Think about this. There's going to be tremendous devastation, according to these scriptures, brought to Israel's Mediterranean coast. There's one prize there that I'm sure the enemies of Israel would like to crush, and that's Tel Aviv. Does this verse of scripture speak about that? Woe unto the inhabitants of the sea coast. Now, it used to be Joppa, the story of Jonah, and so forth. Tel Aviv is at the site of Old Testament Jaffa. Woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast. So, just thinking about this destruction, we've seen it touch Ashkelon. Ashdod is a commercial port city. And I'm having a little trouble with my notes here, but there's a scripture that in the book of Amos, the early part of the book of Amos, that says that the top of Mount Carmel shall wither. People, that's Haifa. It's a location, great port city. There's some fierce conflict that's about to break out. I'm not a date setter. I don't know how long ago God had me around, but I have a little feeling now I might be around to see that. Not that I want to see it. Israel's got to respond beyond taking out Iran's nuclear. They've got to preserve the state of Israel by doing that. Turn with me, if you would, to the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 49. I don't want to use my words. I just like to use, Russia is going out of its way to supply Syria with powerful weaponry. Also, in these days, offensive and defensive weaponry for Iran. I need to read Jeremiah 49, 23:23-27, concerning Damascus. I've been to Damascus. It's one of the oldest cities of renown on this planet. It tells it there, they're stout-hearted, but they're going to suffer greatly. There's sorrow on the sea, and it has to be responded to. Obviously, Syria's had a part in some of the damage that's done to Israel's Mediterranean coast area. Damascus will wax feeble and turn itself to flee. Fear will seize on that city. She'll be as a woman in travail. I'm reading the Bible now. How is the city of praise not left? Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 17, verse 1, says Damascus will cease from being a city. We're living in that hour. Her young men shall fall in the street, and all the men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm not going to turn to some of these scriptures, but I'll give them to you so you could write it down. In Isaiah 33, verse 9, it says that Lebanon or Hezbollah in Lebanon. We'll be ashamed and be hewn down, become a parking lot. I understand after years of study, knowing that there's one Jewish nation, and God has a great purpose for those people on this earth. Many Gentile nations. The last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, says, "I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob will not be consumed." In Hebrew, hallelujah, ki ani Adonai lo shiniti ve'atem b'nei Yaakov lo kalidim. Lo kalidim, you won't be consumed. Tremendously shocking to think of the way they're going to be hurt. They cannot be consumed. There's too much Bible to back that up. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Jesus said himself in Luke 21, 33, "Heaven and earth would pass away, but my word will not pass away." God the Father said, Psalm 138, verse 2, he holds it up above his name. He magnifies his word above his name. I love this book, Psalms 12, 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. Psalm 89, 34. "My covenant will I not break. I will not alter the thing that's going forth out of my mouth." Psalm 119, 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." I believe our even the book we love so much is taken a severe beating in our country. I like that chorus we sing once in a while. Whose report are you going to believe? For me, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Just reading the paper daily, some of the information I get from Israel, I can just see this thing coming. Boeing has on their assembly line a Pegasus, a long-range fueling plane that's being constructed. Israel was planning to get that plane. If you've watched the news at all, you know that there's been some delays, increase of expenses. What's Israel going to do? They have an ASAP, as soon as possible, project going on in Israel right now. They're forced to do it. They can't wait for the Pegasus. They're taking the Boeing 767 and making that long-range refueling tanker out of it. Why? There's a job that needs to be done. They're going to have to do it. Uh, I think of my experiences in Israel and staying with friends there and so forth. The sorrow in the sea, it just makes me weep. But I know, having seen these scriptures in Zephaniah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Amos, it's transformed my prayer life. That's the first thing I pray for in the morning. Takes me back to years past. I was in New York, and I was at the top of the Empire State Building. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me so clearly that I took those notes and it became a booklet entitled An East Wind. And it tells us in Ezekiel chapter 17 that evidently when this next outburst takes place, that there will be a gigantic move of anti-Semitism across the world. And I believe it'll hit this country. Something I wrote probably 30 or more years ago. God has purposes to fulfill. It talks about a mass exodus of Jewish people that will flee from this country. I pray every day for my president, for our country. It will never change our philosophy concerning us, but I know what's coming. Israel will face a tremendous rebuilding time. Financial needs. I thank God for the word of God that's clear to me. Somebody asked me, are you sure this thing wasn't fulfilled in history, Pastor Bob? I said, can you show me where Damascus ever ceased from being a city? Just left a pile of rubble? I talked to a general just recently, dear friend in Israel, and he's facing retirement age. We thank him for a great job done, and how uniquely that we could end up being, we're just bound together by the word of God. I don't want to go beyond what I've said tonight. I'm asking Pastor George to come. I think we would do well to maybe get some little huddles and pray. Nobody likes to bring bad news. I don't like to bring bad news. But I know what's ahead. And I think I've made it clear what opens the door of our understanding that God can hide from the wise and the prudent, and they can tell us Iran's not mentioned in the Bible, but they are. Just as Jordan is an ancient Ammon, Moab, and Edom, there are an ancient Elam. Elam never had weaponry like is described there. They didn't have long-range missiles. I'm not a date setter, but I see things happening very fast. Some of the things that I'll be sharing with you as the Lord provides in the next three times I'm here will continue with the scenario of what's happening worldwide, what we need to be alerted to. And I just thank God for His Word. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the ways of the righteous, and they shall be forever. You know, it's just wonderful that God can take secrets that are hidden and reveal them. Deuteronomy 29:29 talks about there are secret things and then things that belong to his people. God takes those secret things, reveals it to us. David said in Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in that secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not fear for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Yea, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, it shall not come nigh thee. I mean, he'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They'll bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. We're wrestling with spirits of darkness when we begin the day in prayer. Praying about such things as the security of the Jewish nation, dealing with their enemies. God says, because you have set your love upon me, therefore I will deliver you. I'll set you on high because you've known my name. You shall call upon me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you with long life. Satisfy you, and I will show you my salvation.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.